This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Do you guys remember the movie What About Bob? Bill Murray. Who's the other guy? I know I can see his face. Oh, Richard Dreyfuss, I think. Dreyfuss, right? Yeah. What About Bob? Remember when Bill Murray was struggling in life, and so his psychologist, Bob, starts introducing him to this concept of baby steps. Baby steps to the office. Baby steps to the transient tent city in Missoula. You know, baby steps. You guys remember the movie if you were an 80s or a 90s kid, right?
Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. One little step at a time, and I can do anything.
Yeah, just one little step at a time. For some reason, that was the movie that came to mind. That was the reference that came to mind. I was thinking about our conversations on the show yesterday as we were talking about how now even the far left city council, the liberal city council in Missoula, is now taking baby steps. Baby steps to try to counteract this crisis that created, this transient crisis that they have created in the city of Missoula. For those of you who missed the program yesterday, I've now got a photo that I took on Broadway in Missoula that's on our Montana Talks website showing this tent city that is literally set up right near downtown, right on Broadway. And the homeless, this transient problem, the reason I don't call it a homeless crisis is because we know that there's people that struggle with homelessness. What is taking place in these far left cities like Missoula and like Portland, this is not a homeless crisis. This is a transient crisis that the city of Missoula has created for several years now, as they have basically been building all of these programs to give away all of this stuff to this interstate transient population that'll go from Portland or Seattle or San Francisco or Boulder, Colorado, and then go party it up in the city of Missoula. And so they have created this crisis over years. And then on Monday, now the city council is finally trying to do something. Baby steps again. And so they're going to put a ban in place on overnight camping in their city parks. Anyway, I thought that the city of Missoula was taking the lead on something, that they were finally going to do something about this. But it turns out they're just following after their buddies in Portland as well.
Homeless people will still be allowed to sleep outdoors overnight, but they can't set up a permanent campsite. It has to be removed in the morning. Supporters say the ordinance is designed to identify and assist people who are refusing help offered by the city. But some advocates for the homeless are calling the new law inhumane. The state recently mandated that cities ensure that homeless encampments do not impede accessibility for disabled people.
All right, that was a report at Fox News Radio. So, Portland, Oregon, much like the far-left city council in Missoula, now, after years of creating this crisis, baby steps, baby steps.
Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Baby steps to counter the transient problem in Missoula, Portland too. Baby steps to counter the threat of wildfires in Canada and in the West. We could use this baby steps reference in a number of different ways, couldn't we? I'm glad at least somebody out there got my reference. I got a couple of good emails from Jared in Anaconda during the break here. He says, hey, keep sailing, Bob. He says, what about Bob? I own the shirt and the movie. He's got the t-shirt and the movie too. You remember when Bill Murray starts sailing as sailing there on Bob's sailboat?
I'm sailing.
as he's strapped in, tied to the mast on the sailboat there. Anyway, we need to keep going here with this Bill Murray, what about Bob reference? Cause this is kind of like the Missoula City Council or the Portland City Council right now. Aren't they just heroes? I'm sailing. I'm doing something about the transient problem that we created in Missoula and in Portland. We're just going to have we're going to shut down the city parks from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Baby steps to the counter of the transient. I'm sailing. You know, with the wildfire smoke that is now clogging, the skyline in New York City and on down the East Coast, I think we could use this baby steps analogy when we talk about, you know, what's going on in the Rocky Mountain West as well, that, you know, thankfully we're starting to push policy and action in the right direction here. You know, we're doing more, you know, forest health projects, fuels reduction efforts. We're doing more timber projects, but not nearly enough right now. I mean, you know, Governor Greg Gianforte made a great point when we talked about good neighbor authority agreements and how, you know, just in his first year in office alone, they doubled the number of acreage treated under the good neighbor authority agreements with the federal government. But even he said, as great as this increase is and how they're really trying to double down on forest health projects here in Montana, he said it's still a drop in the bucket. It is still like, you know, like having a teaspoon taking water out of the ocean when we talk about just how much treatment is needed when it comes to our forests all across the Rocky Mountain West. I thought that was pretty interesting. Well, let's see. Lots to talk about this morning here on the show. We do have the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. I want to talk more about campers, but actual campers this time. I know I joked yesterday that, you know, we've got campers in Kalispell, we got campers in Missoula, we got campers in Bozeman, but we are actually talking about these the transient problems that they're having in all of the towns that I just previously mentioned. Well, let's talk about actual campers now. So I think I was talking with a friend. I think this was in Missoula. I was talking with a friend in Missoula, and we were probably sitting around a campfire while we were having the conversation. But he was telling me about how one of the bartenders in Miles City was complaining about the campers from Billings after the recent Miles City Buck and Horse Sale. You know, the Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, world famous Buck and Horse Sale, third weekend in May every year, right? But apparently one of the bartenders in Miles City was complaining about the campers from Billings. And this was the complaint. These campers from Billings, you know, they just pack their campers full of food and beer, and then they sit out at the fairgrounds the whole time. They never come into town and support the local businesses. And so I get where the bartender is coming from. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like filling my camper full of food and beverages. But really, one of the best things about having a camper is getting out and seeing the state, which includes the local restaurants and bars in the various places that you travel to, right? I mean, it's kind of like when I was in West Glacier. Hey, I go to Moose's Pizza to get some Moose's Pizza, right? It's on the list of what you do and what you see. I've heard similar complaints from friends in Northeast Montana about Fort Peck Lake campers from Billings or Minnesota or wherever. They say, hey, don't just fill your coolers full of food and beer. Support some of these local establishments too. And here's the deal. When it comes to me, I mean, you don't have to tell me twice, because one of the best times that we had as a family camping, and this was before we even owned our own camper, some friends in Glasgow actually let us borrow their camper and set it up out at Fort Peck Lake. We got rained out the whole weekend, but we had a great time anyway. We were playing card games and, you know, joking around in the camper, maybe threw on a movie or two or whatever. And, you know, since it was raining the whole time, well, we went down to the Gateway, which is a, you know, restaurant and bar right there next to the Fort Peck Dam. And the kids still joke about eating the damn burger. They have a damn burger from the Fort Peck Dam, you know, being right next to the Fort Peck Dam. So our kids still tell jokes about eating the damn burger at the Gateway Bar next to Fort Peck Dam. So I guess we could have just ate our own damn burgers at our camper. That's fun to do too. That's part. I love cooking my own breakfast, for example. That's my favorite part on that griddle grill that I installed on the outside. But yeah, here's the deal. The kids still joke about eating the damn burger at the Gateway Bar, and they bought the damn cookie too. Plus, who goes all the way to Glasgow and doesn't plan for Eugene's Pizza for at least one meal? But I guess the broader point being out there is, hey, as you get out there and travel the state of Montana.
.com. Monthly payment available only when financing with a Pierce RV approved lender. Not all buyers will qualify. Subject to prior sale. See dealer for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation, give us a ring. I put together just a little stack of stuff of some things that we could cover, that we might cover. Obviously, the Canadian wildfire smoke that is inundating New York City and much of the eastern seaboard is dominating the national conversation. I think we all can agree that, hey, we hope that now folks in New York City and elsewhere across the eastern seaboard will recognize exactly what we have to go through here in Montana practically every summer, late in the season, every single summer, and the need to have proper forest management and forest health back here in the Rocky Mountain West. There was a Wall Street Journal editorial this morning that made the point that in California, for example, California, they've gone nuts about their, carbon dioxide emissions reductions. And so they've been bragging about how they reduced their carbon dioxide emissions from 2003 to 2019. But yet University of California researchers last year calculated that wildfire emissions in 2020 alone were two times higher than the state's reductions in CO2 from 2003 to 2019. And isn't it always just interesting that some of the very same environmental activists that want to sue to shut down these forest health projects, that want to just simply let it burn, are the same ones who seem to be doing all of the complaining about carbon dioxide emissions. Kind of like the same environmentalists and the same liberal judges that rule on behalf of these environmental groups. They're always the ones complaining about carbon dioxide emissions. And then you have liberal judges like Mike Moses here in Montana that shuts down a natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel, Montana, even though natural gas is the reason why the United States actually lowered carbon dioxide emissions, especially when Donald Trump was president of the United States and when Ryan Zinke was the Trump Interior Secretary. And yet here you have a liberal judge, Mike Moses, in Yellowstone County, who's halted that natural gas power plant, halted the jobs, the money for the schools, everything else that comes with it, the power supply that's going to be needed here, especially as we see more and more electric vehicles jumping onto the grid. Here's a big news story that just broke yesterday. Many of you may have not even seen this one yet, but according to a liberal news source here, the Montana Free Press, neither Chief Justice Mike McGrath nor Justice Dirk Sandifer will seek re-election to the Montana Supreme Court in 2024. So this is huge. This is a huge opportunity for Montana, because some of you will naturally ask the question, okay, so this liberal judge in Yellowstone County shuts down a natural gas-fired power plant that's being constructed by Northwestern Energy there. Well, what do we do about it? Well, okay, you try to go to the Montana Supreme Court, but right now we got a liberal mob majority on the Montana Supreme Court. And what we've already seen out of this partisan court, this kangaroo court in Helena, is that you've got partisans like Mike McGrath, who is a former Democrat Party statewide office holder, who makes partisan rulings and partisan decisions to benefit one political party or to benefit their buddies in the radical environmental movement or radical no limits abortion policies, you name it. So here you go. Supreme Court Chief Justice Mike McGrath says he will not seek re-election next year. There's an open seat. And then on top of that, you've got another leftist Supreme Court justice, Dirk. Well, he's known as Dirk Set-Em-Free Sandifer because he always rules to make it easier on the criminals out there. So two major openings, and I guess my question is will conservatives take this seriously? Will everyday Montanans, will Montana, you know, small businesses and business interests, will they take this seriously and truly start getting organized to start to bring about a change on the Montana Supreme Court? Because we know what the will of the Montana voters has been very clear. They sent a supermajority to Helena. Every statewide office holder, is Republican right now, and so as a result, what the left is doing now is they're holding on to that last bastion of power, and they are abusing that position of power to block whatever they want to block that came out of this latest legislative session. So here you go, two pickup opportunities for conservatives here in Montana. And I expect hopefully we'll see, James Brown, who's the chairman of the Montana PSC, step up once again to run now for what would be an open seat. So instead of just taking on an incumbent like he so graciously did last go around, now he can vie for an open seat here. Who else might make good Montana Supreme Court candidates? Tim in Billings threw out Attorney General Tim Fox as a potential candidate. So, phone lines are open for you. Let's jump into the calls here. We've got Jerry in Hamilton. Jerry, looks like Jerry wants to weigh in on the campers conversation as people are traveling the state. Thanks for the call, Jerry.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good morning.
This is the reason that we bought our campers, to get away from everything for a little bit. But no matter how much you stock on it, you still have to restock. You run out of stuff. You have a lot of places. You have to pay for your camping site. You have to buy propane. You have to buy gas. You have to restock. So you're still supporting the area that you're camping in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's my point.
No, that's a good point. Well, somebody else, so I did a write-up on our Montana Talks website with this headline, "Don't do this at the next Miles City Buck and Horse Sale." Apparently a bartender was complaining that too many people were just hanging out at the fairgrounds and then not going into town. But I can see where some people are like, "Hey, man, if I go into town, have a couple of beverages, I don't want to drive while tipsy. I don't want to risk getting a DUI or being unsafe while driving." And I know apparently they got Uber now and they have like a sober chauffeur taxi deal, but maybe they could expand that even further to more of a trolley system to get people going back and forth. But another point that one of our listeners made is, hey, in this economy, people are trying to save up as much money as they possibly can right now, given the inflation that we're seeing from Joe Biden and John Tester. So I can see those inflationary concerns out there as well, where people are trying to be as, shall we say, as economical as possible.
Yeah, but I don't think their intent is not to support the community. I think their intent is just to get away from everything for a little bit and enjoy themselves. But you still have to. You still have to buy stuff. You still have to, wherever you're at, you're still supporting the community.
Well, and just by being at, an event like the Miles City Buck and Horse Sale and your ticket entry and things like that, you're also supporting that community through that effort as well.
Trust me, nothing's free.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, thanks for your time.
All right, Jerry. Yeah, hey, thank you. Thanks for the call there. And of course, a lot of these conversations have people are talking about in a lot more frequency now because of, after 2020, a lot of folks started discovering Montana and started wanting to get out more. And so a lot of the places where maybe you went before might be a little bit harder to get into these days. 294-0970 is the number for you. Got a message from a listener in Kalispell here. Now, two different I know we're kind of covering a few different topics here this morning, but two different conversations. One, we have the transient debate and conversation that we talked about yesterday, where you have these transients that are basically, oftentimes there's a criminal element involved, drugs, crime, like you're seeing in Missoula, where these transients are setting up tents in city parks, setting up tent cities right next to Broadway, for example. You know, that's one conversation. And then of course, we talk about this other conversation about, hey, folks who are getting out and enjoying the great outdoors or traveling the state, et cetera. But regarding the vagrants, the transients that are showing up in Montana cities and small towns, be cautious. This is what our listener in Kalispell had to say. Be cautious of homeless advocacy groups and NGOs seeking government grants to help vagrants. Many of these groups are political organizers funded by grants to help vagrants, but then they work to enact leftist progressive legislation and candidates. This has been the model in California, Oregon, and Washington. Sure seems like that's been the model in Missoula, doesn't it? Yeah, that's for sure. All right, back in the phone lines we go. Jerry in Gallatin Gateway. Great to hear from you, Jerry.
Hey, Aaron. You were talking about the bucking horse sale down there and that, and people, that bartender complaining about them not leaving the fairgrounds. My cousin lives in Miles City. He called me and told me obviously they're there living there, but he went down to the bar to get them a few beers. They had raised the prices to $11 a can of beer in the bar for the weekend.
I'd heard that from another friend from Miles City. They're like, hey, well, they did raise the prices just for bucking horse sale.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he said, yeah, I mean, you know, like, I don't, if I'm going to drink, I'll go to some country and buy a six pack, you know. But, and I said, I guess I'd have went to Albert's in Miles City and bought a 12 pack of beer. But yeah, he just said they were charging $11 a can in downtown for a beer. It's just like, well, why do you think people aren't going to go down there? Going to go down to Albertsons and get a 12-pack and go back to the fairground and sit there and drink it.
Or yeah, or if you go down, you're definitely going to trim it back for sure. I'd heard that. I was talking with one of our colleagues who's from the area and worked in Miles City for a number of years, and he said, yeah, the prices went up, you know. But on one hand, that's the one time of year where they really make that cash, really make that money, kind of like, you know, some of these small towns that hunting season or the rodeo or the fair is their big time of year.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Just like all agriculture groups in Washington, D.C., and for farmers and ranchers across the nation, they are still celebrating the Supreme Court decision in the Sackett versus EPA case, in which the court held that the Clean Water Act extends only to wetlands that have a continuous surface connection with waters of the U.S. Cam Quarles is CEO of the National Potato Council.
It's a huge win for our industry. It's a huge win for agriculture overall. And also, perhaps most importantly, it's a win for common sense and also unanimous common sense. The what I thought was really remarkable about that decision, it wasn't a partisan vote. It wasn't a 5-4 decision. It was a 9-0 vote. That the way the WOTUS rule was constructed was just flat out an overreach, and they needed to return back to common sense policymaking. I think that bodes well for other issues, hopefully on the horizon, like getting a new farm bill, getting some guardrails around policy that's coming out of Washington, D.C. that can be implemented in a constructive way, in not in a restrictive way where we're harming opportunities for this great capitalist economy in the U.S., this fantastic agriculture industry.
That was Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. We've got some phone lines open right now. So if you're one of those folks who's like, man, every time I try to call in, the phone lines are full. Well, now's your chance, 406-294-0970. I got a chance earlier this morning to catch up with Tim Sheehy. Tim Sheehy is the CEO of Bridger Aerospace, based out of Belgrade. You know, and as we talk about these, the Canadian wildfires and the smoke that showed up in New York City and even on down to Washington, D.C., we've actually got Montanans who are in the fight in the air right now as we speak, helping to fight those fires all the way out in eastern Canada. So anyway, I'll share a quick clip from Tim Sheehy here in just a few minutes. Plus, you know, on Capitol Hill in Washington, they're debating a ban on gas stoves. You know, the Biden administration is still trying to ban gas stoves. Again, this goes back to the natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel and the liberal judge that put a halt to that after these radical environmental groups asked him to do so. And natural gas is why we lowered carbon dioxide emissions as a country. And that's what these climate alarmists are so concerned about, our CO2 emissions. But yet they never say anything about China or India. And yet they want to shut down a natural gas-fired power plant that, you know, natural gas has helped us to lower emissions. But also gas stoves. So if we weren't cooking on gas stoves, if we were cooking on campfires instead, what would that do with air quality? Given the gigantic campfire smoke that's sitting over New York City right now. I mean, they don't think about the consequences of their actions and these moronic policies. Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana was talking about the gas stove ban. I'll tell you about that here in just a second. But first, back into the phone lines we go. We've got Jack in Billings keeping the camping conversation going here. Jack, what's going on?
Not much, man. Thank you for your voice and everything you do.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to expand a little bit on that last year. I have been camping in this country for my entire life, which is over 70 years. And last year, I went in two different situations locally. I won't say exactly where, but in the first one, there was a busload of people from out of state, which I don't have to explain. You were explaining Portland and Missoula. And they spent a couple days there, and they seemed like nice people, but when they left all their garbage everywhere. And then a second time that happened was a little farther up the river here towards Gardner, and same type of results, only this time when we left our camp to go fishing towards Gardner, we came back to an empty camp. And I'm just wondering, I want to ask the people out there, has this been a situation, you know, that's happened to them?
In terms, yeah, dealing with more and more of the out-of-state folks coming in particular.
Yes, yes, sir. I could name where they, one happened to be an Oregon plate, and then the other one was a California.
Yeah, I know I had to deal with some rude folks with Colorado plates a few weeks ago myself, and I was like, oh, you guys aren't from around here. I didn't have to see the license plate to know that. Because most Montana folks, man, the friendliest folks you will meet is when you're out camping and just having a good time. You know, I remember, and it's not just camping, and it's not just out-of-staters, though. It's, you know, in-town versus out-of-town, rural versus, if we want to call it urban. You know, remember back in 2020 when, you know, people were having to work remotely. There were schools shut down. Even workplaces were shut down. So there were a lot of people that were getting out and just exploring a lot more than they normally would here in Montana. I remember some friends in Northeast Montana were having to remind some of their friends from in town that, hey, you know, if it rains out here on these country roads. Yeah, don't come. So what would happen is, you know, all the people, you know, a lot of the people in town that, you know, that didn't have to go to work or didn't have to go to school because they were shut down temporarily. Well, they're thinking, hey, great, I'm going to go explore all the places I can possibly explore. Well, then it rains And then they're out there tearing up and rutting out the roads. And so the ranchers out there in the countryside are saying, hey, guys, if it rains, don't come out here and tear out these gravel roads. So it's kind of a constant educational piece as well, isn't it?
Well, that piece is, yes. I have grown up in town and both on the ranch in the same situation. And one thing, you know, I got tired of dragging people out. They got stuck from their own stupidity, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, they don't understand that you tear up the road. They don't understand what they're getting into to start off with. So
that's right. And your weekends are precious if you actually get to enjoy a weekend, if you're not too busy checking on cows or something like that 7 days a week. All right, Jack, thanks for the call. You know, that reminds me, you know, I want to let you know, if you got some dirty work that needs to be done out there, you got some big dirt projects, you know, it's kind of like Jack in Billings there. Man, I don't want to be hauling all these people out of the mud. Man, I got other stuff I got to be doing. Well, you have a busy schedule too, but you got some big projects that need to be done. Maybe you got a big dirt project that you need done. Maybe you need an old building torn down so you can build something new. I'll tell you what, get a hold of Billy Beatty and his crew at BD Equipment Services. He's got that Highline Montana work ethic. Man, if you're building a cabin near Big Sky and you need a bunch of trees removed or you need a big dirt project done, BD Equipment can do that for you. Or like I say, you need some demolition work. They've got the heavy equipment, the skill, and more importantly, the work ethic to get it done for you. Check out BD Equipment, BLGS.com, or call 406-201-7711, BD Equipment, BLGS.com. Their Instagram page will give you a little bit more idea of all the work that they can do for you as well. 294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation. What about this gas stove ban? I don't know about you. I love cooking with gas. I'm kind of like those Duck Dynasty guys. Now we're cooking with peanut oil. Well, I want to be cooking on a gas stove. On my camper, I got a gas griddle grill on the outside for the little outdoor cooktop. Love that thing. Love cooking with gas. Electricity, I mean, I can do it. It doesn't cook those eggs just right like a gas stove can do. The Biden administration is still moving forward with a ban on gas stoves. Listen to what Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana had to say about it last night on Hannity.
All of this is just one further indication that the Biden administration has a fatal attraction to nutty ideas. About 50% of American households heat their homes with natural gas-powered furnaces. President Biden's new rule would make about 40 to 60% of those furnaces illegal because he doesn't think they are sufficiently energy efficient. The Biden administration, Sean, is also beavering away on similar rules, as you pointed out, for gas stoves, for ovens, for dishwashers, for clothes dryers, for electric motors, for vending machines. All of this is going to hurt the American people. It's going to restrict consumer choice. It's going to raise prices. And it's going to have minimal, if any, impact on CO2 emissions.
All right. I think at one point, I think we heard him there. Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana called it a moronathon, a moronathon that is coming out of the Biden administration right now. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you call right now, we should be able to get you on, get you heard all across.
Now licensed in Missouri and Illinois only.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, just got a message from Terry in Scobie. Terry in Scobie sent us this message. Hey, good morning. Currently spraying grasshoppers. Yeah, those grasshoppers look nasty. I saw some friends in Circle where they said, yeah, it looks great out here. It looks green out here, but oof, maybe not for long given all the nasty grasshoppers that are out there. Anyway, Terry says, currently spraying grasshoppers in my lentils. But a friend in Seattle sent me this. The Seattle City Council voted down an ordinance that would have made smoking drugs in public illegal. That sounds very, very safe. Well, as long as they don't have a gas stove, Terry. You know, cocaine, fentanyl, meth. As long as they don't have a gas stove. That would be harmful if they had a gas stove, according to the Biden administration. Did you hear this, Terry? In New York City, Ted Cruz was talking about this the other day. In New York City, they have vending machines for crack. They have crack vending machines. You can get crack, you can get drugs, you can get condoms, you can get all sorts of stuff through vending machines in New York City. Just craziness. But again, better not have a gas stove. Better not be cooking with peanut oil, according to this this woke Biden administration. Nicole in Columbus says this. Liberals do realize that gas stoves don't run on gasoline, right? I know they're big on shutting down our pipelines and making us buy electric cars, but I just wondered if they're confused. That was from Nicole in Columbus. Nicole, thanks for that message. Let's see, D. Watt on the road to Columbia Falls. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call first. I've known a lot of people that have worked a job and they meet the minimum, but they don't really exceed. So they look at another job and they never noticed.
Well, you're breaking up. I did see you're on the road to Columbia Falls here. You're breaking up. Let's try one more time. What'd you have to say about going from job to job?
Well, why can't our governor tell Judge Moses he doesn't need his notice and go ahead and release it now instead of waiting until July?
Yeah, good question. Well, you remember that the DPHHS tried to move forward previously and modify the birth certificate order here in the state because Moses was trying to force transgender birth certificates. So DPHHS said, okay, well, instead we won't do that, but we're going to do it this other way instead. And this Moses is trying to hold the DPHHS in contempt. I mean, it's just like this guy is going out on the most vindictive, partisan, ideological, way possible, this Judge Moses. But, yeah, really what we got to do, goes back to those Supreme Court cases, these Supreme Court races next year. We got two openings on the Montana Supreme Court, and if we want fairness in the process, we've got to break up that mob on the Montana Supreme Court.
Yeah, and another thing they could do on that would help is on the ballot if it said what party they're affiliated with. Because I think a lot of people didn't realize Judge Brown was a red-leaning judge.
Yeah, some have talked about that, allowing for partisan affiliation. We all knew Gustafson was a Democrat. We know Mike McGrath is a Democrat. He was the Democrat Attorney General previously, right?
Right.
And would that impact people's votes if they knew that very clearly that person leans left, that person leans right? So some have called for that. And others have called for him. Yeah, maybe we should do like the U.S. Supreme Court, where the governor nominates a justice and the state Senate confirms the justice. And then we just remove all of this big money, this out of state money and this dark money from the equation altogether. That's another idea that some like our friend David Noble have advocated for. All right. Glad your cell phone coverage picked back up there because it was great to hear from you. I know I'd talk about the woke military. So the military is finally under the Pentagon. They're finally halting these LGBTQ drag shows targeting kids on military installations. Senator Steve Daines, though, he wants some clarification here because he got a very weakly worded letter from the Pentagon. So Senator Steve Daines, Fox News is reporting, he is calling for a clarification. He is alarmed at the letter that he got from the Pentagon when it comes to concerns over drag queen story hour events targeting kids at military bases. Here's what Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke told Fox Business about concerns over the woke politics being forced in our military.
We need
hold on one second. I got it cranked up too high there for a second. All right, here we go. Let's try it again.
We need to examine from bow to stern on this ship, because the military is perceived as being woke, and I can tell you a lot of sons and daughters around our country are not joining the service because they believe that's the case.
All right, less than a minute to go on the show. I know I'm trying to pack a lot in for you here. Tim Sheehy, a fellow Navy SEAL of Ryan Zinke's there. He was on Fox Weather talking about the Montanans that work for Bridger Aerospace in the firefighting effort in Canada. Here's part of what he had to say on Fox Weather here. We'll have to close you out with this.
The Super Scoop is the only purpose-built firefighting aircraft in history. It was designed, produced, manufactured for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to fight wildfires. And as you described, its mission is to scoop the water from nearby water sources, lakes, rivers, reservoirs, or the ocean. It scoops 1,400 gallons per scoop, drops it on the fire, and immediately heads back to the water to scoop again.
All right, so what he told me is about half of his fleet of aircraft from Belgrade, Montana, are in the fight right now, helping to fight those fires in Canada. Tim Sheehy, CEO of Bridger Aerospace.